Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
What's up, guys? It's the phenomenal AJ Styles. You're listening to the two-man power trip.
Hey, Johnny. Cool, man. What's going on? We ready to go or what?
Welcome to the two-man power trip of wrestling. I'm your host, JP John Paz. With me today, very special guest. He is, of course, a WWE Hall of Famer, 10-time WWE Tag Team Champion, WWE Television Champion, one half of the Harlem Heat. He is Mr. Stevie Ray. Stevie, welcome back to the two-man power trip. How you doing?
What's going on, guys?
What is going on in your world? What are you up to?
Oh, man, what am I not up to, man? I'm working on a lot of things, put it like that. I'm working on a lot of things. So that's about
it. What are you up to as far as wrestling-wise?
Nothing.
Nothing wrestling-wise? Okay. What about the podcast game, though?
Well, we're still podcasting a few days a week. And then I do other people podcasts on Thursday and Friday, like I'm doing this one right now. So that's basically what I'm doing in the podcast world. So,
and you're doing a show with Russo, obviously Vince Russo over at the brand. Yeah,
me and Vince been doing a show for a few years, man, called Black and White. And hey, man, that's a one of a kind show. It's a one of a kind show that we do. Nothing else like it in the podcast business. So we love it, man. We love doing it. You know, we crack each other up, man. We do it on Thursdays. And so we did it yesterday, and I think that's one of our longest shows. I mean, we talked about so much stuff. We always have a lot of subjects to talk about, and we take those subjects and we spin them like nobody else can. So it's a lot of fun, man. And we just crack each other up.
What were you guys talking about yesterday?
Everything. Everything, man. I mean, from one thing to, I mean, just, we talk about nothing specifically. We might have 4, 5, 6 different things that have occurred or article that we found, and, you know, we expound on it and give our 2 cents and stuff like that. It could be a part of football. It could be a part of baseball. We talked about baseball yesterday. We talked about football yesterday. We talked about politics yesterday. We talked about, oh my God, man, you name it, we talked about it in some way, shape, or form.
Wow, he's running the gamut with you there. He's talking about everything with you.
Oh, yeah, we talk about everything. Yeah. depending on some stuff he likes, some stuff I like, some stuff I want to comment on, some stuff he wants to comment on. So we just take it and put it all together, you know. And that's what's great about the show. And we even talked about wrestling. We even talked about a little wrestling. Yeah, forgot about that. Talked about a little wrestling yesterday. You know, something that's going on in the wrestling business. Certain things behind the scenes that we don't understand. And yet we still see them coming up. And, you know, that's what keeps the show interesting. We just don't talk about the same stuff all the time.
Usually disagree or usually agree with him?
It don't really matter. It don't really matter. If I'm talking about something, I really could give two shits what somebody agree with it or not. It's my opinion.
Right.
So I'm not really reaching out for somebody's acceptance if I'm talking about something, especially if I really know what I'm talking about. So, but that's not what the show is about. The show is about bringing up things, giving opinions about them, and being entertaining about it at the same time. Nobody can do that like he and I.
Oh yeah, he's great. I do a show with him all the time. He's great. I know obviously some people have a different opinion of him. He's polarizing, but he's great with me. He's always got something smart to say about the business for sure.
Oh yeah, the business is the business. You know what I'm saying? And like I say, everybody's got their opinion about the business. Even on the wrestling subject, we don't agree, but it's no right way to be wrong, and it's no wrong way to be right. Because everything as it pertains to professional wrestling is subjective.
Yep. Very true.
Because it's still an art form. There's no right way to do an art form. And most people don't understand that. If you've never been in this business, if this business hasn't paid all your bills, if this business hasn't paid your college fund for your kids, your child support, if you had children out of wedlock, or your house note, your car note, you know, your ex-wife. If it hasn't done that, you've never been in the business. You've been around it. So everything in the art form is subject to change. Generationally, people 20 years ago don't look at things like people do 20 years before that. And the wrestling business is no different.
Very true. Very, very true.
Yeah, but a lot of people can't seem to understand that. Everybody wants things to be like it was in my generation. And I don't respect things from a future generation. It's just like when my daughter was growing up. You know what I used to always tell her? Life didn't start when you were born.
Right.
It was life here thousands of years before you, and it'll be thousands of years after you. So in essence, that's how I look at everything. You have to change with the times. But some people want things to be just like they were and stay that way. No, everything evolves, especially anything in the entertainment business. Everything.
What do you think about current wrestling? Like, do you like it? Do you not like it? There's certain things.
It is what it is. I like it for what it is. What do I think about today's movies? What do I think about today's music? What's the difference between that and professional wrestling? What's the difference?
Right.
You don't hear really quality music anymore.
No.
And if a movie is not one where they're blowing up 50,000 things with a chase scene that lasts 20 minutes and spent $500 million or half a billion to put it on the screen, who goes to see a movie anymore? What young people like to go see a movie where you have to really sit down, watch, and interpret? It's too slow. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
There was a movie out years ago called Kramer versus Kramer, where a wife is going against her husband to get custody of a child. Who would watch that today? That movie is iconic. Because nobody today, everybody today is like fast food. Back when I was growing up, it wasn't a McDonald's on every corner. If you went to McDonald's, that was a treat from your family. Now people eat it every day as a delicatessen and getting fat as fuck.
Yep.
Nobody cares. So you see how all of that is the same? There are some things I like about professional wrestling today and some things I don't. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. But when I say I don't like something, that still doesn't mean I don't like the product. That's the difference.
Is there companies you watch more than others? Like, do you watch WWE more?
I'm going to be honest with you, dog. I really don't care about – I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't sit down and watch fucking professional wrestling like a 12-year-old fan. If I see it, I see it. It does not dictate my life anymore. It was a job to me. I'm not a fan like most people are. I was a participant, and it was something that took care of my family. So now that I'm not a participant anymore, it's just like everything else in my life. I can get to it when I get to it. If I don't see it, I don't see it. I don't care. It doesn't dictate my life. And that's why I do a podcast with Russo. And that's why wrestling does not dictate our podcast. I'm not one of those guys that want to talk about yesterday every fucking day. I don't do that on Straight Shooting with Stevie Ray. What you see behind you. Who the hell? I don't understand people that want to talk about yesterday all the time. I don't understand that. I'm a guy that thinks about today. I'm a guy that thinks about tomorrow. What I'm trying to do, other things I'm trying to do, you know, like getting into political crosshairs like I am right now, writing a book like I am right now. I also written a documentary that I'm used for a curriculum for young people, things like that. That is what intrigues me. I'm a person that's a progressive, meaning I need something to open my mind, not close it. I'd have forgot about more shit that I did. Somebody don't bring it up. Like Vince, a lot of times bring up things and it'll trigger a story in my head. And then I'll go, nah, I don't want to tell the story. I'll leave it for Straight Shooting with Stevie Ray. Then he'll force it out of me. But that's like a segment that we do all the time. You know, not every week, not every 2 weeks, maybe once a month, we'll do something like that. And I go, nah, I don't want to tell this story. And people know he's going to pull it out of me, just like we did one yesterday, because he was asking me, Stephen, were you cool with David Flair? I don't even know why he asked me that. And I go, yeah, man, me and David were really cool, man. We used to talk all the time, man, you know. And I said, that reminds me of a story that I got about David Flair. And he was like, what happened? And I'm like, nah, I can't tell it on the show, man. I'm gonna tell it on Straight Shoot. He, no, man, you gotta tell it. So then I told the story, and it's a super funny story, man. But stuff like that. Other than that, if he hadn't brought up David, I'm not thinking about David. With all due respect, not that I got nothing against him or nothing like that, but I haven't seen him in years. He's always a cool kid. And this is just one of them things that happened in the wrestling business. If I didn't tell it, you'd never know about it. Nobody, because I'm the kind of person, the story that I told about David, I didn't go tell the boys about it. Whereas most guys in professional wrestling, something will go down, they tell all the guys in the dressing room. I've never been one of those kind of guys. Never been one of those kind of guys. But every now and then, I'll tell some of the wrestling stories. They got to be funny, though. It's got to be something funny. If it's not funny, then I won't tell it.
Are you allowed to say what it is, or does Russo want that for himself? Like, he wants to keep that story.
Well, no, I don't want to tell it again. I don't want to tell it again. You know what I'm saying? Because it's our content, you know, so, you know, because the content helps his brand out and the content helps my brand out.
Right.
You know, so because we did it together. So it is what it is. And like I said, people always ask me on when I'm doing the show, Stevie, hey, man, you got any old wrestling stories? Yeah, if you pay for them. Right. I ain't got no wrestling stories unless I'm getting paid for it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not one of those guys that do the shoot interviews. You know, back I used to do shoot interviews. You know, people pay for them. So I don't give away free content. Everything to me is worth something.
Right.
Everything. Yep. So you see guys on podcasts telling old stories. This happened, that happened, blah, 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 this, that. Well, they get off on that. I'm not like one of these old guys sitting around with a bunch of other old guys and we're reminiscing about yesterday. I don't give two shits about that, bro. I don't. I don't even do it with my brother. I don't do that. It's boring to me. I'd rather talk about something that's exciting.
When did you and Russo get together? Like, how long have you guys known each other? I've always kind of been curious. Was it WCW or did you know him before?
Yeah, that's when we met. That's when we met, when he came to WCW. And we always had a real good, we always had a real good relationship.
So you became fast friends literally just from WCW, him being the booker and you just being a talent.
I don't know if we were friends, but we had a mutual respect. I always respected him for what he did and what he was going up against. Because me, I looked at his job totally different than everybody else looked at his job. So, and I've told him this, you know, when Ed Farrar came in, I knew what they were up against. So I actually sympathized with their, you know, what they were up against in this company, because they were coming from something totally different from what they were going to. So that's why I always sit back and just watch them and see how they were going to handle it. So, and I guess that's why we got along good, you know, because I could go to him with ideas and he would listen. I could go to Ed with ideas and they would listen, and I could explain my ideas to them and they would listen. And, you know, 80% of the time they were like, hey, okay, let's try that. You know what I'm saying? So by them doing that made me feel as though they had mutual respect for me. Because before they got there and I had different ideas and stuff like that, either someone stole them or they didn't really listen. So that was one of the reasons I always had the utmost respect for those guys. And I wasn't one of those guys going to them to try to get myself over. That's one reason why Vince and Ed had so much, in my opinion, had so much heat, because you come into a place where people don't want to change. Going back to what I was talking about earlier, some people do not want things to advance. It's about them. They're not about the company. They're not about the team. They're about them. And that's what WCW was about back then with a lot of the guys that worked there. So when Vince and Ed was trying to write things a certain way, well, guys were very, very rebellious against that, because now it's not going to have me in this comfort zone that I've been living in for the past few years. Wrestling was very near and dear to my heart. I love professional wrestling. You know, you got to love it to do it at the level I did it. You got to. If not, you're in the wrong fucking business, because it'll eat you alive. See, nobody talks about that. Nobody talks about how many people this business has ruined their lives. Nobody talks about that. Nobody talks about how many people have been in rehab because of this business. Nobody talks about how many people are hooked on painkillers because of this business. Nobody talks about that. Nobody talks about how many marriages and relationships have been destroyed because of this business. You want to hear about that? No. You want to hear about the cheesy side, the fun side. But it's another side also. Nobody talks about that. So now I'm trying to enlighten you on how I see this business. It's real, brother. It is real as fucking real can be. To me, it's real. So that's why I don't get into the ambiance of the underbelly of professional wrestling. I tell it like it is. 100%. Oh, I don't tell it at all. Yeah. So I'm not the guy that you want to talk about, you know, fun stories and all that kind of shit with. I'm not that guy.
Well, what about the underbelly of the business? You said that there's the dark side. How come people don't want to talk about that side of the business?
That's what I want to know. Because people are afraid of things that they are not educated on to talk about. To talk about anything, you have to be educated on it. To elocute it, okay? And then those are the things people don't want to talk about. But if you're going to talk about the good, you got to talk about the bad also, in my opinion. Why not? I don't know. But when people step to me about something, if I talk about anything, I'll talk about the good and the bad. It don't make me no never mind. It's just like when I was just telling you about when Vince and Ed came in. What the first thing I tell you? I knew what they was going up against, right? Or did you understand that? Yeah. When I said I knew what they was going up against, did you understand what I was talking about? Because I didn't want to have to put it out there, you know, live and in living color. I'm trying to give you little tidbits so you can understand.
Yes. The politics and everything else going on behind yes. the scenes that they have to deal with.
Because they never had to deal with this where they came from. Totally different animal. It was a totally different animal. And like I said, I wanted to see how they were going to deal with it. And that's wrestling. But you never hear people talk about, you know, you were just saying Vince can be polarizing. This is your words. And I'm paraphrasing. You said that Vince was very polarizing. People didn't understand him, right? Sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the reason that is because the guys he's writing for see things totally different from them. Because they've never had this, they've never had to be put in position to have this kind of discipline before. If you understand what I'm saying, it's just like in daycare. If the kids are used to just tearing up everything, throwing spitballs, throwing airplane and stuff, when the teacher goes out the room, then that's what they're used to. But when somebody comes in, you ever seen the movie Kindergarten Cop?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You see how the kids were before Arnold got in there? And see what it took for them to learn discipline?
Yep.
That's a life lesson. So once you get used to something, you don't want to go away from it. If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, when he comes in as the substitute, it did great. Great movie. And then obviously by the end, he teaches them discipline because they were used to being nuts.
Before. Exactly. Yeah. Not exactly. So take that same theory and put it toward what Vince and Ed was coming into when they came in WCW.
Yeah. Plus,
but these ain't kids. These are not kids. They might have a kid adolescence mindset, but they're not kids. That's the real hardcore side of professional wrestling that people don't know anything about. Yeah.
And I have a friend of mine who I won't get into his name and stuff like that, but very famous wrestler, having all sorts of problems. He's got back issues. He can't walk. He's got the gout. I mean, he's got all these issues, but all stemming from his career. He had a little bit of an substance and alcohol abuse problem, but obviously that's what people don't talk about. He just, you know, they'll get him to do signings and stuff, but him to get out of the house and be able to go do those signings is a whole different story.
Right. I mean, it's tough. It's tough. And when you see, you know, like the TV show, Dark Side of the Ring, that's only touching a very small percentage. Very small percentage. And a lot of that's kind of Hollywooded up too, you know, this, that, and the other. But that's still a point that they're trying to get to. And they're profiting off it, you know.
Big time.
They're profiting off it, though. But, you know, if they're going to profit off it, then they should share the wealth with whoever they're doing these exposés about in some way, shape, or form. So, in my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. If they're doing it about Brian Pillman, should be something. His family should get something, or yeah, Bam Bam, his family should get something. Canyon, et cetera.
In my opinion, because that's another way of raping the business. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You offer a guy a couple of bucks, and they'll sing like a bird. But who really gets paid in the end?
Right, the show.
Yeah. Like I said, most people don't think about things like this, but I do. Sorry, I'm a critical thinker. I can't help myself, you know? But
how are you physically? Like, how have you
been? Oh, I'm great. I'm great. But I've always taken care of myself, though. I was taking care of myself. I never lived a professional wrestling lifestyle. Like I said, I didn't get into the wrestling business to be like other wrestlers because I could care less about that. You know, I had my own company. I had my own company. I was doing good before I ever got into wrestling business. So it wasn't my first rodeo of doing something and, you know, being progressive at it. So I keep that same mindset of, you know, that I had before I ever got in the wrestling business. I don't need your drugs. I don't need your, you know, rats. I don't need any of that bullshit. I just need respect and my money. That's it. It ain't rocket science to me. I try to simplify everything in my life. It ain't rocket science. Do what you do. Do what you're told. Keep your nose clean. And I'm going home. I'm going home to my family and my friends and live my life. When it's time to turn that on, I turned it on. When I turned wrestling off, I turned it off. You know, I wasn't having 10,000 conversations with all my contemporaries and things of that nature. We ain't got shit to talk about. Other than wrestling, that's the only thing we got in common. So what the hell am I talking to you for? Other than when I see you or when I'm in the ring with you. That's no disrespect to anybody. It's just the fact that I'm cut from a whole different cloth. And I still live that same lifestyle to this day.
And was it hard for the guys, though, like to not have those vices on the road?
I have no idea, bro. Like I said, I didn't get into this business to try to oversee what everybody else do, brother. I'm a live and let live kind of person. First of all, I'm a minority, okay? I'm a minority in a white man's world, okay? So whatever the fuck y'all want to do, go do it. If they want to fucking take all the drugs in the world, go take them. If they want to go sleep with all the rats in the world, go take them. If you want to go jump off a bridge, go do it. Just don't ask me to do it with you. See what I'm saying? Because for the minority, things are not going to be the same. And I know this. Like I said, I had my own business before I got in this business. Things don't change. It's just a different game. And that ain't no disrespect to nobody. That's the way I was raised. When you come from my culture, you're raised differently. It ain't monkey see, monkey do. It's do you. That is what your parents teach you as kids. Do you. And if something is a detriment to you, you got to be smart enough to know what it can do for you. See, from my culture, that's what they teach you. But from other cultures, I don't know what they teach them. I'm not from that culture. So when you ask me questions about the boys, I don't care. I don't know them. Not like that. I don't know them. And people know how straight-laced I am, so it's like, that ain't the guy I want to be around. Because, no, hey, Stevie, can I smoke in your car? No, you can't smoke in my fucking car. If somebody ride with me, no, can't smoke in my car. You can't drink in my car. You can't do shit in my car. And after what you need to do, get the fuck out of my car. That's just me, bro.
All business.
That's my life.
Yep.
That's how I grew up. You got choices in this life. You know, and I ain't trying to be a mean ass or something like that. But different guys have, you know, rode on the, when I wasn't riding with my brother, different guys want to ride with me, stuff like that. And it's like, hey, man, no, dog, can't do it. I'm not finna get pulled over like the fucking Iron Sheik and them did. You see what I'm saying? No, yeah. I ain't finna do that, bro. You got me fucked up. No. You know, so guys knew that's just how it was, man. That's just me to this day. I'm the same way. You know what I'm saying? No, it don't come in my house. Nothing comes in here unless I want it in here. Just how it is, bro. So I take that same mentality into the business. I ain't got nothing to do with nobody else. Do you. But I ain't going to be a part of it. You know, I'm, you know, that's just the real world, brother.
What is going on next for you? Like, what's coming down the pike?
Well, actually, I'm in the midst of writing a book right now. But a lot of people think the book is like a memoir. It's about wrestling. No, it's not. You know what I'm saying? Those books, 50,000 people wrote books about themselves. I don't want to write a book. That's not intriguing to me. But it is based on wrestling. It's based on wrestling, but it's not a wrestling book. So that's what I've been working on lately that I'm trying to finish up. So it's been taking up a lot of my time.
Is it about your life, though? It's going through. Oh, it's not?
No, it ain't about Stevie Ray at all.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, there's a few things I put in there about myself, a few things, but no, it's not about me at all. That's the thing. Like I said, those books have been, how many times you've seen a book about somebody writing about themselves in their career? How many times?
A lot, yeah.
So you think I want to do the same old fucking bullshit? No, I don't want to do that. That story has been told 50,000 times. Who the hell want to read a story that they already know? So I want to do something big. I want to do something boastful. I want to do something where I bring out the truth about things that people don't look at. That they don't look at and they don't even realize. So that's what the book is about. So I'm very excited about that.
Coming soon?
Oh, man, I'm not even finished.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Book can be quite a process. Yeah,
yeah, it is. But you know, I got nothing but time. I got nothing but time. I already got a publishing company, and even the publishing company was like, hey, brother. And I think they've produced a few books with, matter of fact, they did a couple with Russo and a few other guys. And but it's not nothing like those books. You know, a tell-all behind the scenes. Man, come on, brother. To me, that's clickbait. Now, I don't want to do no clickbait, man. I talk about real shit. I talk about real, real stuff. Real. Stuff nobody's brave enough to talk about. You know, I want to push buttons. I want to see people to see things and think about things in a different kind of way. And I'm not afraid of the backlash. That's what I want. I want people to question my theories. Yeah. So we can really open people's minds about this, that, and the other. So yeah, that's what the book is about.
Anything specific that you could mention without, you know, giving away too much out of the book that you're going to touch on?
Brother, look around you. Look around this whole world. Look around everything that you see. And the book is touching on all of it, if that makes sense. Everything in your world that you don't even realize, is going to be talked about in that book in one way, shape, or another. Yeah, going to be very interesting. Very interesting.
I mean, I'm intrigued. I got to kind of wait for this to come out, but I'm intrigued to see.
I think Vince is the only person that knows what the book is about.
Oh, have you went to him for advice?
Oh, fuck. What could Vince advise me on?
Well, didn't he write a few books? Not the tell-alls. Didn't he write other books and other screenplays?
Yeah, he did. He did. And that's why I said the only reason he knows is because we do a podcast together. That he knows what the subject of the book is. Because we've talked about it before I decided to write a book. We talked about a lot of my theories. Yeah.
And he's always big on like how to format.
No, he introduced me to the publishing company.
Oh, good.
And I pitched it to them. Oh, but okay. Like I said earlier, Vince has also written a couple of books. That's what I was referring to.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So where could everybody find the podcasts for you?
Oh man, podcast is pretty much out there on anywhere you can find podcasts. Straight Shooting with Stevie Ray, the world's most dangerous podcast. Matter of fact, I'm in the studio right now. And we go live every Monday and Tuesday. And then we let it play on YouTube for a minute, and then you know, the guys can go pull up the replays and stuff like that on Twitch, Patreon, and YouTube and stuff like that. So, but that's it's out there on all the podcasts. Yeah, so many of them now, so I can't even remember, but just look it up, you can find it. Straight Shooting with Stevie Ray, the world's most dangerous podcast. Yeah.
And how about Rooster?
And I don't sugarcoat nothing. It is what it is. But like people think, it's not a wrestling podcast. Like I said, people call in or send me when we're doing the show live. And people, hey, Stevie, you got any Old wrestling stories, no. I'm quite sure it's enough of those podcasts out there that I don't want to be. I don't want to be a part of nothing that's generic. How many wrestlers can talk about wrestling all day? I don't know, and I don't really care, but I'm not one of them. Now, I just had Devon Dudley. We just had him on live, a week or two ago? A couple of weeks ago. And that was a great show. And I think who we had on before that, we had Ryback on, I don't know, a month or two before that. So I still interview a lot of wrestlers. I just don't talk about a lot of wrestling. We'll talk about a little when something is going down, you know, some news is going down, like CM Punk going back to WWE or Jay Cargill going to WWE and, you know, and different things like that that's going on in AEW. You know, something the fans want to talk about and ask me questions about, and I go through that. I like talking about stuff that's going on and giving an opinion about things that's going on today, you know, what people are looking at. But that's but getting into what happened yesterday, I'm not going to even stress my mind. It's not even relevant to me anymore. Unless it's something funny and I think about it out of the blue because somebody triggered something in my mind, and then I give the fans that. But that's on my time and my terms.
And the Russo podcast, what about that one?
Oh, Black and White? Well, you know, yep. It's all over the Rome Network and on all the podcast outlets out there also. So we get a lot of good feedback on. We get a lot of good feedback on that show. We get a lot of good feedback because we, like I said, it's not a wrestling podcast. It's just a couple of wrestling guys talking about everything. I mean, we talk about movies. We talk about TV shows. We talk about actors. We talk about baseball, basketball, football. I mean, politics. That's why we call it Black and White, because we're giving opinions from a black and white perspective.
Good show, of course, on Vince Russo's brand. With Punk, though, just to bring that up for a second, were you surprised that Punk came back, or you're not surprised?
No, not at all. No, nothing surprises me in professional wrestling. Nothing. Because nowadays, WWE has to do things, you know, uncharacteristic of what they used to do. I mean, CM Punk coming over and getting a big, getting a big pop from the crowd, or semi-big or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But he's been gone for 10 years. But by the fact that he's reinvented himself from AEW, you know, WWF looks at that and go, hey, let us capitalize off of this a little bit, especially because he's been polarizing over there, you know. So let us capitalize off. And they'll do him just like they do everybody else. I mean, I like CM Punk. I like his work. I like his attitude. I've met him a few times. Cool kid. You know what I'm saying? They'll let somebody shine for a while, and then you'll be back in Palookaville, you know, after a year. But that's pro wrestling of today. So what could be so surprising about that? Right now, things are just, that's just the way things are going. And then, you know, it's like people had opinions on Jay Cargill. You know, fans do, because fans don't know this business. WWE doesn't have, I mean, you know, they're working, WWE is a television show now. It's not a wrestling show. It's a television show about wrestling. It's not a wrestling show that's on television anymore. A lot of people don't understand that when I say that, they don't understand what I'm talking about. Television is about ratings. They're not just cable television. They're on regular television too. So WWE, wrestling shows used to compete with other wrestling shows. WWE is not competing against wrestling shows. Who are they competing against? Every other show on television. They're competing against the CSIs, the FBI, you know what I'm saying? Whatever sitcoms are out there, Law and Order. They're competing against that now. Professional wrestling has never had to compete against everyday television shows. Never have. They competed against what? Other wrestling shows.
Yep.
Well, now you're in the real television crosshairs. You are in the real political crosshairs. You are in your television show now. And what does a television show has to do to stay relevant? They got to keep that fresh. Keep that change. Everything got to move together, step by step, lockstep, in a rhythm. See what I'm saying? It's probably hard as hell trying to keep, you know, up there right now. I bet you everybody's on pins and needles because, brother, you ain't just trying to appease the professional wrestling fan anymore. You got to appease people that just watch television. Because now you got some sponsors involved in all these other different entities, just like every other TV show. Hey, baby, when them guys sit back, they want to see numbers. Because it's about paper, not just your paper, my paper too. When things was just an independent thing and all about you, who cared about that? Totally different now. I got to keep these sponsors saying when they go to a commercial. Ladies and gentlemen, this commercial is called, do you buy Snickers? You know, or Gatorade, quench your thirst. You ain't never heard that on pro wrestling shows before, man. I mean, really? Well, we doing commercials, the wrestlers are doing commercials with this stuff? Hey, brother, this is different now. So when something like the thing with CM Punk comes up, I can see it. I can see it because that gives a few more eyes on the product. It is what it is. Now, from a business perspective, a wrestling business perspective, I mean, the way they did CM Punk back in the day, and he comes back from that. I mean, that's the part I'm interested in, if that makes sense. I would love to see what they told him or know what they told him to get him back over there. I would love to see that.
Yeah, true. With the way he was fired, yeah. It was on his wedding day, I believe. Which is
yeah. Crazy. So that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. I would love to know what kind of negotiations, but you know, that's the interesting part for me, because being in the business, that's the interesting part, not the fan part. The fan part is what it is. I can dig that, but the other part, man, I was like, wow, for him to go back. I would love to know what was up, but that's just me.
Or how many zeros they had to put at the end of that check to get him to come back after all those years.
Yeah, but yeah. It's interesting, man. That's all I'm saying. It's very interesting.
And with Jade, I feel like that airport factor with her. You know what I mean? Like if you see Hulk Hogan walking in the airport, like that's Hulk Hogan. She's walking down the airport. You're like, I don't know who that is, but she's definitely a wrestler. She's famous. I want to, you know what I mean? She has that. Even, you know, you flick it through the TV. You're like, oh, this girl looks like $1 million. What the hell is this?
Exactly. Oh, no, that's the thing. When I talked about it on my show, that is the thing I was trying to explain to the fans. I said, there are some people that are unicorns. And for anybody out there that don't understand what that means, is you can see 50,000 horses, you can see 50,000 mules, you can see 50,000 cows, bulls. But how often do you see a unicorn? People will pay money just to see the unicorn.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to do anything. It just has to exist. Because it's a myth. How often do you get to see a unicorn? Only in your dreams. And that goes back to what you're saying. The wow factor. The wow factor, I mean, we got a lot of women on this show. We got a lot of beautiful women on the show also. But in the wrestling business or on television, period, these kind of people don't exist. They don't exist. So I understood that whole thing, because how often do you see WWE going to AEW and wanting anybody under their umbrella? How often do you see that?
Very rare.
That's the only one. That's the only one. You can't put Cody in that. You can't put CM Punk in there because who made them?
WWE years ago, yeah.
Okay, now they might have reinvented themselves somewhere else, but who made them?
WWE.
Okay, so that ain't the same.
Yep.
It's not the same. So when I saw that, I was like, okay, you know, they probably put her down there at the school, the training facility, and train her the way they want her to work, not that AEW. Well, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to make some money off of this. We're going to make, and that's more interesting to me than anything going on with Cody or CM. That's more interesting to me as a fan. I'm more interested in the women's division than I am in the men's. Because they've always done the women thing right. They've always done it right. And they always keep you off balance. Who would ever predict? If I told you to go put $1,000 on Io Sky becoming the women's champion and then holding the belt and beating the top girls, would you make that bet?
No way.
No way. No way.
Nope.
It's unpredictable. And it doesn't even... Man, it don't even go with the theme of everything that's going on with the women's division.
Yep. Yep.
That's why I always say the women's thing is more intriguing to me when I see them out doing their thing. I am a huge fan of the women division in WWE. Huge fan. Huge. Yes.
Got Bianca, got me a bunch of them. But it's funny, when Jade was in like a picture with Charlotte, just them standing there, people were already saying they wanted that match. I was like, wow, she hasn't even been trained in the system yet. They already want that match. So it just shows you perception. She already is a star. You know what I mean? Oh, just looking at them must be somebody.
Hey, brother, you ever been teased?
Mm-hmm.
You ever been teased by a woman?
Oh, yeah.
That's what that was. That's what it was. And you ain't getting it until it's time for you to get it.
Yep.
That was a test for them because people got all these speculations and stuff like that and anticipations. And brother, they're going to give, it's going to be like Hansel and Gretel. Okay. It's going to be like Hansel and Gretel. They're going to look little pieces of, and you're going to follow that candy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're going to follow it all the way to the home where that's when it goes down. That's how they're going to do. Because this is epic, man. This is epic. And I love it, man. I knew they weren't going to bring her out there and throw her out there because in a lot of ways, Jade is still green.
Yep.
Jade is still green. And you know how they are about that work in the ring. You got to be able to do 50,000 different spots and you got to do them crisp. Nightly. Because it's on television. I mean, it's got to look crisp and look snug and look perfected. It's like the Temptations, man. It's like when the Temptations were on top back in the day. Nobody, no group. You could have a lot of groups. You had a zillion R&B groups back then. Nobody moved like the Temptations. Nobody. You know why? Because they worked at it night and day. You had a lot of groups, you know, like one guy singing and the four guys are still over there doing moves and stuff. And you go, man, them jokers don't miss a step. But then you see another group, they're pretty good too, but it's more like the AEW. You see what I'm saying? It's a lot of spots, but it's not as crisp. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, guys from the business can recognize this. Not that they're not great matches, but everything with WWE from the camera angles to the crispness in the ring, everything has to be, you can just see it. If you know what I'm saying? If you know what you're looking at, you can just see it, you know. But I like both products, but I'm just saying, you can see the difference in one. One is more colorful. The backdrops are more colorful. The camera angles are spot on. And all that's a part of television. So they can't have their product like somebody else's. That's why they are. I don't care what the talent is. You know what I'm saying? If you watched the New England Patriots when Tom Brady was there, back when Tom, after the 07 season, when Tom Brady really turned into, well, the 07 season, when he turned into the Tom Brady that we grew to respect and know. Look at how crisp their offense was. No other offense in the league was that crisp. It was drop back, pow, drop back, pow, drop. And you go, wow, man. Then you watch somebody else's defense, you know, it's kind of, oh, he's moving around. Ah, they might run this and the other, blah, blah, blah. You can see the difference. And you can see they had worked on that over and over and over to the point where Tom Brady could do it with his. That's WWE.
Yeah, it's like you almost take a guy and you put them in the system and the guy works out. It's like, all right, we'll take Wes Welker out. You know, there he was awesome. We'll put Edelman in. We'll take this guy out of it. We'll put Gronkowski right. in. You know, we'll put the guy and fit him into the system and we'll right. make that guy work.
Right. And that's what WWE does with their guys. They all work the WWE system. You know? Now, I love the Young Bucks. But let's say if the Young Bucks was working over there, they wouldn't look the same. They look good, but they wouldn't look the same. Not saying that's good or bad, because I love the Young Bucks. But you could tell a WWE system versus anybody else. Anybody else. It's just different.
Yeah.
But I agree. You spot on with that Patriots system. And if you couldn't play in that system, you didn't play. You ever notice that? The guys that couldn't get it, you have to have a very high IQ. And you can't wait to be loved. You cannot wait to be loved. It's about the system and the team. You like it, you do it. It ain't about a coach loving you or somebody patting you on the, you know what I'm saying? This, you want to play here? This is the way it is. And you know, WWE is the same way. Yep. And if you don't get it, you won't be around.
I was watching a documentary a while ago. It was on WWE. It was just with like Triple H explaining the camera angles. And it was guys from other companies mm-hmm. that you would think of this huge star. The guy didn't know where the camera was. And he right. stopped. He's like, you have to look this way. You have. I was like, wow, right. that's like mind blowing because it's like, wow, this guy was a huge star somewhere else, but they didn't know where the cameras were. They like in Triple H, right. like you have to look this direction. Like, I mean, they got it down to even the production team.
Bro, that's what I'm trying to explain to you. It's tough, but that's what they need to sell their product. You know, this is not a big show on television with a house show look to it. Look at how everybody's dressed.
Oh, yeah.
Look at, you know, they take pride into, you're just not going to walk in this ring with anything on going against that guy. Like I said, they're never going to have that house, not house show, but indie show look. You ain't going to never have a guy that look like an indie guy come out on that television show or a girl. This is theatric. This is entertainment. Now, there are bands, like back in the Harrod Day bands, people expected big pyro, big this, you know, glitz, glamour, this, that, and the other. Okay. You ain't going to come out here in this era looking like a band playing the local bar. The music is good, but everything else don't add up. You know what I'm saying? You can't do it. You got to look like big. You got to look bigger than big. And that's what they... That's what they specialize in, man, looking bigger than big. And they don't spare any expense. And that is why I'm so, eager to see what Jade Cargill is going. And this is another thing that they never do. They didn't mess with the name.
True, yeah.
When the last time you seen that?
It's been a while because Brian Pillman Jr. is Lexus King or something like that. Like, so they, you know, they changed his name.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know something is up when they don't change the name. You know it. And like I said, when last time you seen that?
Yeah, it's been a while. Yep.
I can't even remember. I'm talking in the modern era. Somebody coming from somewhere else, you know what I'm saying? And it's been a couple. It's been a couple.
Maybe AJ Styles is kind of the only guy. But, I mean, he was kind of well-known, but yeah.
Yeah, AJ was kind of well-known. And Samoa Joe was, too.
Yeah, yep. Nakamura, but he was really well-known in Japan.
And stuff, right, in Japan, yeah.
But her, she's a relative rookie. They would never do that for a relative rookie and not give him a new name.
Because they want you to start all over again like you was never, ever seen anywhere on earth except for right here. That's just how the company is. You know what I'm saying? They want it to look, they want you to, they want to strip all of that other stuff off you and give you a whole nother look. Whole nother demeanor also. You're not going to even walk out like you used to. You know, your moves are going to be different. And by the fact that they didn't change that, that's when I knew, okay. We see what's up here. I just want to see how far they go with it. Yeah.
Hopefully pretty far. I mean, she's a huge star just already, just has star power. So as long as she gets, their training or whatever and gets that greenness wiped away, I think she'll be huge for them.
Oh, brother. And you know, when they give you the push, it's the real deal. It's the real deal. Because right now you can see the Cody thing starting to subside. Can you see it?
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to subside now. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Back when when you compare it to back when he first came in and some of those pay-per-views and especially the ones with Roman Reigns and all that stuff. You see what I'm saying? It's like, let's get this out of it, then slowly but surely bring you back to what we think you should be. You know? But that's how they do business, man. And when you go there, you just gotta. This is not going to be like AEW, where you can go in and talk to Tony Khan. You know what I'm saying? About, you know what I'm saying? What's going on, right? You know, I don't like the writing for me. Blah blah blah. Can't do that in WWE, bro. You're just another guy on the roster.
True. And they'll look at the merch sales and everything else if you you're not up to snuff. And obviously, I think Punk is the number one merch guy now since he just came in a few weeks ago. But I mean, he's the merch guy now, so that seems like he'll be getting the initial.
Oh yeah, they didn't bring him back to for nothing.
Right, they
brought him back for a reason. What, I don't know. I hope it's not something that we don't expect. You know, like sometimes they'll just do stuff for the hell of it. They'll do stuff for the hell of it. Make you think you're going to get a push, and then after a year, they try to bury you because somebody trying to get revenge in some kind of way, shape, or form. But I hope not. But then again, I hope they bury the hatchet, and hell, let's move on, man. It is what it is. Life goes on, bro.
Definitely. As far as your career, I just wanted to mention this before we wrap it up, because I loved you on commentary for some reason, always just like your one-liners and your stuff on commentary, just something that always brought, like, in my mind, like, man, I wish Stevie Ray was a commentator for longer. just because, like, the fruit booty was funny. It's just like, nobody says that. Yaks about woman. You know what I mean?
Suckers got to know.
Say suckers got to know. Like, whatever reason, the commentary stuff always got to me. I always thought that was the best. I was like, man, I wish he did more commentary.
Right. Well, what did you want? What were you asking exactly?
Why did they make you the commentator, and then why did you stop? Was it just that WWE ended and that was
I'm trying to think of what happened. I can't even remember now. I think it had something to do with the company. I remember Bischoff had left, and then he came back. If I remember correctly, am I right about that?
Yeah, towards the end.
And I think it had something to do with that. And he was like, we want to put you back in the ring and not do commentary anymore. I can't even remember now. But the fans loved it. The fans, I still got people to this day hitting me with the catchphrases and stuff, you know, still hitting me on social media with the catchphrases. And I'm like, bro, I ain't even said those catchphrases in a zillion years, you know what I'm saying? So I was surprised that people still remembered them like that. You know, I was really surprised, you know, after the company shut down and everything. And I think that's what happened. Another dumb decision from people in WCW that didn't know what the fuck they were doing. That's it. You know, you're asking the same question other people was asking. Like, hey, man, you're the best person out here doing this stuff, man. You know, this is what people, even the boys were like, bro, you're the best person out here doing this stuff, man. And I'm like, wow. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, hey, man, I'm just doing what I'm told. So I don't know. I don't really remember, bro. I'm speculating. I'm not 100%, but I think it has something to do with that. But don't quote me. But I think it has something to do with that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, myself included, loved you on commentary. Just funny with all the catchphrases and stuff. It just, you were great. And your chemistry with Tony Schiavone was awesome.
Oh yeah. Me and Tony would always go over stuff before we went out. And I would always go, hey, Tony, can I ask you something? And people would have those signs. People would have the signs in the audience, in the crowd. Tony, can I ask you something? And that's something that kind of came out of nowhere because me and Tony, I did it a couple of times. And Tony thought it was funny. You know what I'm saying? He's like, why are you always asking me? Can you ask me something? You know? Just say it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I said, man, it sounds better when I'm asking, you know, can I go on the record right here? Because I was thinking of stuff that had never been done before. I'm still an entertainer, if that makes sense.
Yep.
I'm still an entertainer. So I have to entertain and commentate all at the same time in a wrestler's mentality. That's how I looked at it. So the stuff was just coming off the top of my head from an entertainment point of view, because as a professional wrestler, you're always trying to think of entertaining things to get you over. So as a commentator, the wrestling mentality never stopped. So, and the guys, Ed and was always on the one of the producers. So I could hear him laughing in my ear when I said things, which meant that was good. Because I can hear him laughing, stuff like that. So I had a lot of fun with it, man. A lot of people don't know. That's what I went to school for anyway. So I never thought I'd ever come back to it. You know, like when I was getting out of high school, that's what I wanted to do. I was going to go to school and I wanted to be in radio.
Wow.
So that's where a lot of that came from, you know, because I used to DJ in clubs and stuff like that. You know, this was many moons ago. So that's where a lot of it came from, you know. And then as a hobby, when I was a young man, I would imitate commentators on television and try to emulate their voices and the things that they're saying about what's going on in a basketball game or a football game or even a professional wrestling show. So I now used to do that in the dressing rooms. Also, I would do that in the dressing rooms. Because back in those days, we had monitors, but they had no sound. So I would like commentate the matches. We're in the back looking at a match on the monitor. So I would like commentate the match like somebody in the professional wrestling room. I don't know if you've seen that. That was a heavy kick. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't talk with my voice. I talk with a wrestling commentator's voice. Oh, that was a heavy slam. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
He's really making a comeback now. You know, and the guys just thought it was so funny. So it was just something to entertain ourselves. And I found out a couple of years ago that Disco Inferno, they wanted to get somebody out there from the, from a wrestler on commentator. And I found out that Disco Inferno told Vince Russo he needed to get me. I never applied for this job, if you see what I'm saying. So they came to me. They sent me a fax. I will never forget it. I was in Utah, Salt Lake City, Utah, finishing up a loop. And I got a fax at my hotel saying I have to be at TV on Monday. And I'm like, what do I got to be on TV on Monday for? And then they told me I was getting an audition to be a commentator. And I'm like, how did I get into this? You know what I'm saying? I've never done any of this stuff. And I'm like, I'm tripping. If you understand what I'm saying, I'm tripping. Like, if somebody had to come to me and say, hey, Stevie, you know, would you want to try out for a commentator job? You know what I'm saying? If somebody had said, then I would have knew. But I would have had the chance to say yay or nay. And probably would have said, no, I want to have, you know, I'm a wrestler, bro, you know. So I went down because they were doing the show in the dome in Atlanta. So I flew from Salt Lake City to Atlanta. And that's what we were performing at that night. But I went to the studios where we used to do the me and Scott, what was the name? Scott Dixon. No, what's his name? The ball guy, Scott. He's one of the commentators too.
Scott Hudson.
Me and Scott used to do the Saturday night shows together in the studio. So I went to the studio and nobody was there. And I'm like, I was told to come, you know, I'm dressed nice. I was told to come do try out for the commentator's job. Because I was gonna mess it up on purpose. Because I didn't want to do that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to do that. Because I'm like, shoot, man, they're going to cut my paycheck and stuff, you know, because I don't know what these guys make up. I don't want to do this. And one of the people there said, oh, no, they got everything set up at the Georgia Dome. So they're doing it over there. And I'm like, what? So now I got to drive all the way over to the Georgia Dome and park in that big giant parking lot and come through the back. And, you know, and I finally get to the building. And like I said, I'm sweating now because, you know, I got a necktie on and nice clothes. I don't know if I had a necktie on, but I know I was dressed nice. So I'm looking around for, I was like, hey, where are they doing the tryouts? And didn't nobody know what I was talking about. I was like, hey, man, you know, some of the people in the back, where are they doing the tryouts? And I was like, tryouts, we don't know anything about that. And then I go to this person, oh, no, we don't know. I don't know. I'm like, damn, man. How they having tryouts and don't nobody know about the tryouts? Because right. I'm thinking it's going to be several people there. You know what I'm saying? Trying out for this. So finally, I see Vince walking. And you got to realize how big the Georgia Dome is. It's not like a regular building, what, 20,000 seater or 15,000 seater that we go in. The Georgia Dome, I don't know, maybe 60,000, 70,000 people. So the back area is huge. And I seen Vince walking with a bunch of people around him. And, you know, he's running around with like a chicken with his head cut off with different people, you know, quarterbacking like he usually does. And I said, Vince. And he stopped and go, hey, Stevie. I was like, hey, man, where are we doing the tryouts at? He said, tryouts. I said, yeah, man, you sent me the fax saying it was a tryout. He go, oh, that. Well, I scrapped it. You're starting tonight.
Whoa.
I'm starting tonight, man. I'm trying to catch a late flight home. I ain't trying to work tonight. I'm trying to go home, man, because I was going to be off for a few days after the last loop. And now I'm like, I don't even know what's going on. So I went to the meeting, you know, the pre-show meeting. I'm sitting in there. I don't even know what the hell's going on. Everybody's got pen and paper and writing and stuff like that. I don't even know what's going on. I've never been to a production meeting before.
Wow.
And yeah. And then Tony, Mike Tenay, and we have a meeting. They kind of give me a crash course in what's about to happen. I don't, with no timing, no nothing. So that's how the whole thing started. So they just threw me out to the wolves, man.
Wow.
And like once, that. Yeah. They threw me into the wolves. I'm stepping over people. Then I got Ed Ferrara in my ear telling me things to say. And I'm like, as Tony and Mike are talking. So I'm like, well, when do I supposed to get my two cents in? I remember he told me one time, tell him it looked like he got that from eBay. Do you know back then, I didn't even know what the hell eBay was. I didn't even know I had never heard the word before. And I'm like, eBay, what the fuck the hell is he talking about, man? So little by little, I got a little better at it the next week. Then after that, I went to Ed and I said, Ed, I can't do it this way. I say, you're going to have to let me talk. I said, you're going to have to get out of my ear and let me bring a character to the forefront that I know I can bring. And I told Mike and Tony the same thing. So let me do me. I can't be the Stevie Ray that everybody knows. I have to be more of me, the person that had a little training in this, you know what I'm saying? And I can bring the character at the same time. And we tried that, and the rest is history.
It's great that you had kind of prior experience, or you were ready for that spot, because it seemed like if anybody else was thrust in there, I don't know if they would have been successful right off the bat, but you were almost like ready for it.
But like I said, I had been imitating this kind of stuff for a long time.
Yep.
So now I'm out here actually doing it for real, and not on a monitor, but watching them in the ring. My biggest problem was me trying to watch a monitor. You're supposed to watch the monitor. You don't supposed to watch the match. Even though you're sitting right there, you don't watch the match. That was my biggest thing trying to get used to, is watching the monitor right in front of me because I was doing this. But see, I don't supposed to be doing this because I'm supposed to be commentating what the camera is looking at, not what I'm looking at. So that was kind of hard. But once I got that down, it was pretty cool. And once we got the timing down, it was pretty cool. And then I started coming up with the catchphrases and stuff like that. So that started to get over with people. And then, like I said, a thing with me and Tony, where I started asking him, hey, Tony, can I ask you something? Yeah, Stevie. You know, blah, blah, blah. And people really loved that. So it was a good experience, man. That was one of my best times that I can remember in professional wrestling. Because me, Tony, and Mike had so much fun, man. Especially going overseas together, you know. We had so much fun, you know.
And you could tell you were having fun just, you know, with the catchphrases and stuff. And, like, you could tell you were into it. You were, you know, you had, like, good energy, like, for a commentator.
Yeah, I think so, man. But like I said, those two guys helped me so much. And I would come up with different spots. Like, wrestling spots in commentary. So I would tell Mike, I'm going to say this, and I want you to say this. Then I come back with this, and that's like, oh, yeah. I said, so be ready for that. And I would just choose a good part of the show to do that. You know what I'm saying? And he'd write it down. So when I would come, you know, I'll say something, I'd say, Tony, do you know what happened in 1536? No, Stevie, I don't know what happened in 1536. And then I would give him whatever I'm talking about as it pertains to this, as it reminds me of this match. So that's when Tony started calling me straight shooting Stevie Ray, you know, because I would come up with historical, history is my thing. I would come up with historic things and apply it to professional wrestling. And that's what it reminded me of. And Tony was like, God damn, man, you know a lot about a lot of stuff. And I said, I didn't know I knew this stuff until I started watching wrestling. And the stuff is in my head somewhere. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going out reading. This is something that's been in my head probably since high school. You know what I'm saying? And now, something in that match reminded me of this, and now I can apply it. Different little things like that. But yeah, man, we had fun doing it, man. Those two guys, Tony and them was here. I still stay in contact with Tony. Mike, I don't. But I know Mike was doing Impact, wasn't he?
He was inducted into their Hall of Fame. He was doing the commentary years ago, but just recently he was inducted into their Hall of Fame.
Which Hall of Fame?
I guess it's Impact Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that, bro. Because I used to watch Impact. I don't anymore because it's just so much wrestling on television, man. I don't really watch a lot of television. Not content from different shows. I catch them when I can catch them, you know. But I haven't seen Impact in a while because they changed station a few times on me.
Yep.
Yeah, they changed station a few times on me. But I'm gonna have to look. I'm gonna have to look up Mike Tenay, man, and I want to try to get him on the show, man, and Tony on the show, and just talk about old times, man, and Scott Hudson, because like I said, me and Scott used to do the Saturday night stuff together for a while, and that was cool too, because we talking about matches that we can't see. You know, when it goes off, and then me and Scott come on. Stevie, what do you think about blah, blah, blah? And I go, well, that's typical. I didn't even see the match, so I can't. I just say some generic stuff. Right. You know what I'm saying? And me and Scott had so much fun with that because we're like, okay, we're coming in 5, 4, 3, 2. Now, when you guys see the match, you know, fans see the match, this happened, blah, blah, blah. And they would we just have on paper two guys that just wrestled. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But we're not there. But it looked like we watching the matches in the studio. We ain't watching nothing, man. It would take us about 30 minutes to an hour to do that whole thing. And I would fly in, do that for about an hour, and get on another plane and fly all the way back to Houston.
Wow.
One day. I was like, okay, it ain't a bad day. I'm working today, but I'm going to spend way more time in airports than I am working today.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, we do that stuff about 10 o'clock, 11, 10, 11 in the morning. Then we're through. I flew in that morning, like a 6 o'clock flight. That morning, we go down studio, do the stuff. I get back in my rental car, drive all the way back to the airport, and get on a flight coming back. I would do that once a week.
Wow, crazy.
Was that crazy?
Yeah, and then not really even know the matches. Yeah, or
and I didn't even know.
Yeah,
I don't even know what I'm talking about. Well, it goes to show you, Scott, when you do this, this is what happened. You know, oh, yeah, Stevie Ray. Now we're going to go. But you know what I'm saying? It was like, yep. Oh, my God. I was so lost. But I got paid. I got paid for that day. So what the hell, bro?
And on the screen, you would actually see the match like kind of in your background almost.
No.
No, I mean, as a fan, like when you're watching it, and it would almost seem like you guys were watching it, but obviously.
Well, yeah. In the studio, it made it look like we sitting there watching matches, kind of like that. What's that show? Something 3000? When they be watching the old movies?
Oh, the Mystery Theater. You know the show? Yep.
You know the show I'm talking about?
Yeah, isn't it Mystery Theater 2000?
Yeah, Mystery Theater. It's kind of like that, but they actually watching the show. You know what I'm saying? But it looked like me and Scott watching the show, but we're not, you know?
Right.
That was crazy, man. That was crazy.
WCW, man. Those were the days.
I haven't thought about that in a long time, man. I hadn't thought about that. Nobody really asked me about that. So everything you asked me, that bringing back these memories, man.
Unlocking something. Wow. I like that. Yeah, unlocking the...
Yeah, I hadn't thought about any of that stuff, man. Especially the Scott Hudson stuff. I hadn't thought about it. Oh, my God, man. That was so funny. You know, I don't even think I told anybody I was doing that. I don't even think nobody even knew I was doing that. Because I remember really? The first time. No. It wasn't nothing to talk about. It was just work to me. I'm like, oh, man, I got to get up and fly. Because the same clothes I would fly in is the same clothes I went to the studio in.
Right.
Like I said, as soon as it's over, you know what I'm saying? I fly back to the airport. I mean, drive back, and I fly home. So my whole day that day was flying.
Yeah, that's not terrible, I guess. But as far as you're getting paid for...
2.5 hours that way. Two and a half hours from Houston to Atlanta is like 2.5 hour flight. And it's 2.5 hours back. And then all the time you spend in the airport. And like I said, I spent maybe an hour at the studio because we could do that stuff so fast, you know. It was just one after another. And then it's like, okay, man, that's a wrap. All right, man. Hey, Scott, I'll see you when I see you. Okay, Stevie. And I think Scott lived in Atlanta. And I'm like, you know, but like one thing I'm saying, he could have did that by himself.
Right, right.
He didn't really need me, you know. But anyway, brother, great times. Those are some great times and some fun times, man. And you just made me remember them, brother. You just made me remember some of them, man, because I hadn't talked about that stuff in, oh my God, I don't know how long ago. Seriously.
Hey, that's good. Got to unlock some memories there. But as we wind down with your head towards the finish, where can everybody find you online, just as far as your social medias and everything, just so everybody
I got the real Stevie Ray on everything, the real Stevie Ray, you know, and they can go to YouTube TV, find the podcast, Stevie Ray TV. Stevie Ray TV on YouTube, or either Stevie Ray TV on Twitch. And I also come on Facebook every now and then live, but not when I do guests, you know. And Instagram also sometimes, but not all the time. So, but YouTube, Stevie Ray TV, you can look up some of the shows, comment on them, so on and so forth. Twitch TV, Twitch with Stevie Ray TV also. And like I say, they can go to my Patreon account, the Stevie Ray Patreon account. And brother, that's about, you can find me on any of those. And the real Stevie Ray on Instagram and Twitter, which they call X now.
All right. Awesome. Stevie, thank you so much.
Drop me a line and I'll try to get back with you.
Awesome. Stevie, thank you so much for all the time. Really appreciate it.
No problem, brother. Appreciate you.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother.